Listening to the scripture being read this morning, I was struck at all the many different directions I could have taken the sermon today. In fact, looking back at the many times I've preached this passage, I've preached it so many different ways, I can't decide which way I like best. I think 2/3 of your average sermons come with the focus on the prodigal son, the younger son, the son that goes off to the far country. Another third on average goes to the older son, the son who stays home. What is the meaning of the word prodigal? Does prodigal apply only to the younger son? Or can it also apply to the older son? So what does the word prodigal mean? And as I was looking at the passage, that was what kept leaping off of it at me. What is the meaning of the word prodigal? So I looked it up in the dictionary. Well, if you ever have a question as to what a word means, look it up, friends. That's what Dad used to always say. Definition number one, spending money or resources freely, recklessly, wastefully, extravagantly. Definition number two, having or giving something on a lavish, abundant, overabundant scale, profusely. Coming from the Latin prodigalis, we have that word in English too, prodigious, meaning lavish or overabundant. That doesn't sound like a negative word to me, friends. That doesn't sound like a negative word to me. When applied to the younger son, it's always identified, though, as the younger son going off and flushing the inheritance he received, spending recklessly all that he had received. The older son's interpretation, wasting it all on liquor and wild women. Woo-hoo! That's the one that we always seem to like. But it doesn't say that here, by the way. It just says that he went and spent it all. Wasted it all and then was poor. The younger son goes and spends it, wastes it, and then is poor, and then is hungry. Now, I could have focused in on that approach, on that focus, but that really didn't speak to me. And so I looked at the older son. The older son is also a prodigal son. Reckless, wasteful, lavish. In both his anger toward his dad and in how he clearly, willingly throws away, wastes his relationship with both his brother and his dad. Now, the Elation youth do a fabulous job in the Godspell presentation with the older son off there, kind of goofing off when he's supposed to be working in the field. Scripture doesn't say that either, by the way. And then he hears that the younger son is back. He's happy. He's really happy about it. Until he hears what? That they've cooked and are eating Bessie, the fatted calf. Now, he's the older son. His younger son had already gotten his inheritance and gone away. Now, everything that dad has left is his. That means Bessie is his. And here's this brat who's squandered it all, has come back, and now's getting another fatted calf. He's going to get more? No wonder he's mad. No wonder he's angry. No wonder he refuses to go in. No wonder. I like to preach on that passage, on that aspect, on that focus. Because you see, I'm more like the older son. I never went away to a far country. I may have gone to a far country in my heart, but I never ran away to a far country. I was always a good boy, stayed at home, good mama's boy, always in the pews, always doing what I was supposed to do, always working hard, always being a part of the church, always doing what I was supposed to do, achieving, never wasting. And I get angry when the younger sons get it all. And they don't deserve it. As if I, the older son, deserve it. But that's not where I want to preach today. Well, you got the younger son, the younger prodigal son. You've got the older prodigal son. The younger prodigal son wasted the inheritance. The older prodigal son is wasting the relationship, literally flushing his relationship in another negative concept of prodigal. What's your third choice? The prodigal father, who lavishes profusely, abundantly, love and acceptance, grace and peace on his sons. Not a negative idea, but a positive one. Not a negative image, but a positive one. The prodigal father, the prodigal God, who gives it all, who gives his only son, that we might have the abundance of the love of God in our lives, that we might have the grace of God living within us today and always, that we might never be separated, that we might never have to go to a far country, that we might never be angry, but might be re-included. The love of God, which runs out to meet the younger son, doesn't wait for the younger son to get home, tapping his foot and looking at his watch. No, runs to meet the younger son and embrace him and gives lavishly what is needed, what is desired. This is the love of God. There's a beautiful hymn that we sing sometimes. It's entitled The Love of God. If we would think the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, and every man on earth a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. The love of God is truly prodigal, truly overabundant, overflowing, lavish. Just as much as the younger son flushed the inheritance, just as much as the older son flushed the relationship, so much more the eternal Father, our Father and Mother God, lavishes on us the love we need, the grace we need to live. Well, what about Bessie? What about Bessie? I've entitled this sermon, Bessie and the Prodigals. Sounds like a band, doesn't it? Bessie and the Prodigals. Bessie is grace. Bessie is the unearned, unmerited, undeserved favor of God. It's grace poured out for us all, upon which we can feast. And the message here in this aspect of the story is simple, and it's the one that really gripped me. There's enough Bessie to go around, friends. In the church, we older sons and daughters sometimes get frustrated with the younger sons and daughters. Why do they get to come in for free? They don't deserve it. They've been out sinning, sowing their wild oats on liquor and wild women or men or whatever. Why should they get to come in free of charge? We've been in the church working hard. We've been on the pews, in the chairs, out in the fields, in the labor, working hard, trying to grow the church, trying to teach those who need to be taught, trying to feed the hungry and clothe the naked and reach out to the poor and the lost. We've been trying to do the stuff the church does. We've been working hard. Why should they get to come in for free? Why should we include them? The message is simple. Just as much as it is undeserved for the younger sons, the younger daughters who ran off to the wild country, so also it is undeserved, unmerited, unearned for the older daughters and sons who ran off to wild countries in their hearts and separated themselves from God and refused to enter into the relationship that God had for them. We as much as they, them as much as us, we all know them and know us, we all are in need of Bessie, the unrestricted grace of God. And the glorious news of the gospel and the glorious message of this story is that there's enough Bessie to go around for all of us prodigals who waste ourselves, waste the gifts God gives us, waste our eternal inheritance. There's more than enough Bessie to go around. More than enough of the fatted calf. And more than enough room at the party, at the feast of God. There's more than enough grace for us all. If the church learns one thing from this story, it should learn that important message that God, the prodigal, lavish, profusely giving God, has more than enough grace, more than enough love, more than enough acceptance, wide enough arms for all, younger and older daughters and sons, those who've run away and those who've stayed at home but run away in their hearts. My sisters and brothers, as we hear this message of the prodigal God, the lavish, loving God who runs to meet us, as we hear this message of the prodigal Father, may we open ourselves anew to the grace we are offered, to the love that is given to us, to the feast of the fatted calf. There's more than enough Bessie for all of us. Come, dig in. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Been listening to a sermon by Dr. Gregory Neal, Senior Pastor of St. Stephen United Methodist Church and Rector of Grace Incarnate Ministries. Copyright 2010 by Dr. Gregory S. Neal. All rights reserved. For more information or to listen to other sermons by Dr. Neal, visit us on the web at www.revneal.org. That's www.revneal.org. You are also invited to visit us in person at St. Stephen United Methodist Church, 2520 Oates Drive, Mesquite, Texas, 75150. This program was produced by Dr. Greg Neal.